Hello, you are listening to Wellness Unfiltered Pro. The information provided in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and is not a substitute for independent clinical judgment or personalized patient care. The content is not designed to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, nor is it intended to direct patient management decisions.
Welcome to Wellness Unfiltered Pro Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Arland Hill, Director of Clinical Education for Biotics Research. Before I introduce our topic and professional panel today, I would like to acknowledge our sponsor, Biotics Research. Family-owned and operated for over 45 years, Biotics Research continues to revolutionize the nutritional supplement industry by utilizing the best of science and nature to create high-quality nutritional supplements. With a continued focus on innovation and the use of unique and clinically proven delivery systems such as emulsified nutrients, vegetable culture tableting base, and plant matrix minerals, Biotics Research continues to be a pioneer in the professional nutritional supplement industry. In today's podcast, we are going to revisit the fundamental category of gastrointestinal health. Our ever-evolving understanding of this environment has illustrated that a one-size-fits-all solution is inadequate. From the early conversations around leaky gut to our current understanding of the link between the gut axes and modern-day conditions, we must appreciate the role of nutrients in managing the integrity and landscape of the GI tract. In today's conversation, we will present proven options that practitioners can employ in the restoration phase of gastrointestinal health. But before we do, allow me to introduce the professionals joining me today. First, Joe Bushes. Joe Bushes, a licensed dietitian, nutritionist, and CCN, has been using Biotics products clinically for over 40 years. He is also the host of a video magazine called The Tuesday Minute. Also with us is Jillian Carroll. Jillian is a senior functional medicine consultant managing the Carolinas for Biotics Research. As we begin our discussion today, I would like to start with the most fundamental nutrient to gastrointestinal health. Delivered in isolation or as part of a combination, the impact of glutamine cannot be understated. To take us deeper into the conversation, I'm going to turn it over to Joe to speak about L-glutamine directly, but also GI Resolve, a combination product that contains efficacious amounts of glutamine.
Well, thanks, Dr. Hill. I appreciate it. Well, glutamine has always been one of my favorite products. And one of the things that I learned in studying about this, about glutamine over the last 20 years is during metabolic stress, things like fever, illness, injury, infection, dieting, continuous overexercise, which we see a lot of today, chemotherapy, the body can't manufacture all the amino acids that it needs to repair. And so to compensate for the deficiency of amino acids, the body will actually catabolize muscle to supply its needs. And the amino acid glutamine constitutes up to one-third of the amino acids needed for repair because glutamine has such a high nitrogen count. The research is very clear that supplementing glutamine prevents muscle breakdown. Glutamine is not only a key player supporting lean muscle mass, but it also supports liver and the immune system as well. It helps to combat depression, anger, fatigue, and makes aging even easier. It's considered a conditionally essential amino acid, which means in a healthy environment, the body can manufacture adequate amounts of glutamine. But under stress, we can't make it fast enough, hence the muscle catabolism. The mucosa in the small intestine are comprised of finger-like projections that called villi, which we're all familiar, which is where the enterocytes are located. And the enterocytes are some of the most rapidly multiplying cells in the body. Enterocytes are responsible for the uptake of minerals, amino acids, fats, and complex sugars, just to name a few of their functions. But the turnover of these enterocytes is just 3 days. The primary energy source for these amazing cells is glutamine. So during stress or illness, the demand for energy by the intestines increases dramatically. A lot of people don't know, but glutamine is actually a major anti-ulcer drug in Asia. And Japanese scientists have shown that glutamine can reduce or prevent drug-induced gastritis. Dr. Fasano, one of the world's leading researchers on gut health, shared that anyone under chronic stress should take glutamine for gut health. One of the things I didn't realize is that it's an important exocrine part of the pancreas. The exocrine function is involved in the alkalization of digestive juices. So when we get the hydrochloric acid at the low pH, it's the exocrine function that helps convert it to a mildly alkaline form. Glutamine is needed to break down ammonia in the liver. It contains two nitrogen atoms and therefore involved in the production of nitric oxide. Glutamine is also used as a precursor to make glutathione. Glutathione, as most of us remember, comes from three amino acids, glutamate, cysteine, and glycine. And the glutamate portion of glutathione is derived in large part, the glutamate portion of the glutathione is in large part comes from glutamate. I call the glutathione kind of the holy grail of antioxidants. One of the benefits of glutamine is a cost. It comes in both capsule and powder form, but the powder is by far the most economic form. It's virtually tasteless, so it can be added to a small amount of water or juice or added to a smoothie. Doses for glutamine can range from a teaspoon, which is 3 grams once a day, to a tablespoon, 9 grams, 3 times a day, depending on the nature and duration of the condition being treated. Kind of as a side note, most amino acids are grown in these huge 750,000-gallon vats, and they're collected as a byproduct of bacterial fermentation. And to avoid contamination, several steps are taken to purify the amino acids. And there's actually 4 different grades of amino acids. The lowest grade is used for animals. Other grades are used as fortifying agents in food or sold as supplements. But the highest grade is used for pharmaceutical purposes and or to put in IV bags. Obviously, the most expensive refined products are used for these cases. The pharmaceutical grade qualities of formbiotics research is used since they began over 40 years ago. Because they were involved in the genetics and biotech field, they had to use top grade minerals, materials in the research and development they were involved with before they started making nutritional supplements. And fortunately for us clinicians, they never switched to a lower grade, which means we can give our patients the purest form of quality of amino acids. So we start with glutamine, I think, because in the product GI Resolve, there's 4 grams per serving, which is really a healthy dose. So let me shift gears here just for a second to GI Resolve. First of all, it tastes great, which is such a plus in today's field because everything seems like every nutraceutical that's worth its weight in salt is, you know, you got to cough down because it's terrible, but it tastes kind of like a mild iced tea. And while other formulas contain sweeteners, flavors, colors, gums, or other additives that can sabotage gut repair, GI Resolve is the cleanest GI repair formula on the market. Again, it has a mild iced tea flavor. We use 2 scoops and 8 ounces of water. Each serving, as I mentioned, contains 4 grams of glutamine, 100 milligrams of a selfish free form N-acetylglucosamine, NAG, 500 milligrams of MSM, 400 milligrams of deglycerized licorice, DGL, 300 milligrams of okra, 50 milligrams of aloe vera, but it comes in a 200-to-1 standardized extract. So that's really, even though it doesn't seem like very much, that's a lot of aloe vera, and 50 milligrams of zinc carnosine. So most of us are familiar with the properties of NAG and MSM and deglycerized licorice, okra, and aloe vera as mucilaginous agents, but the mucus in our gut not only protects us from our own digestive enzymes, but the byproducts of dysbiotic bacteria. It also serves as a home for the beneficial probiotics in our gut. So we really, that mucus, it seems like a common thing, but it's really important. But I think the all-star player in this blend is the zinc carnosine. With over 17 years as a prescription item in Japan, zinc carnosine has a long history of safety, efficacy, and scientific merit. Biotics choose the most patented form of zinc carnosine called Pepsin GI because it's been the subject of dozens of scientific papers. One study I thought was particularly interesting and really showed the benefit, and that's had to do with heavy exercise. Heavy exercise can induce gut permeability in a study where gut permeability was induced through exercise, and zinc carnosine lessened exercise-induced gut permeability by increasing epithelial resistance and tight junction structure. So it's kind of exciting because we have a lot of people over-exercising today. Zinc carnosine also activates the NRF2 signaling pathways. NRF2 is a protein that serves as a master regulator of the body's antioxidant response. And I like to think of NRF2 as a thermostat within our cells that senses the level of oxidative stress or other stressors, and then turns on internal protective mechanisms. So NRF2 regulates genes in the production of a wide range of antioxidants. So we're talking about SOD and glutathione, catalase, even detoxification stress response genes. As you know, the turnover for the GI cells is days to weeks, so most clinicians will use products like GI Resolve for 30 days. But I heard an interesting lecture by Dr. Brett Wisniewski, and he made a very astute comment. He always extends gut healing programs 30 days after pain and discomfort subside. And he said, because the gastrointestinal milieu is so important, it takes time and to restore that optimal function. Personally, I like the idea of taking the supplements a little longer for a different reason. Establishing good habits takes time, so an extra 30 days kind of assures that they get in the groove. And I want to make sure patients follow through with the suggestions that are relieving their symptoms. So we use 2 scoops and 8 ounces of cold water as a therapeutic dose once or twice a day for 30 days or until the symptoms abate, and sometimes that's very quickly, then reduced to once a day for repair. Here's another tip that Dr. Brett Wisniewski shared that I found interesting. For acute GERD or heartburn, mix 2 scoops and 2 to 3 ounces of water and sip slowly over a 30-minute period. And I've seen that countless times help resolve reflux. The combination of the okra, the aloe vera, the DGL, and the zinc carnosine really put out the inflammatory fires associated with reflux. Of course, we want to be sensitive to other issues contributing to GI disturbances. And, you know, we're all familiar with those things like food sensitivities, hidden infections, SIBO, and hypochlorhydria. But it's exciting to have the option to have a gut healing formula that tastes like dilute iced tea. It's devoid of flavors, allergens, colors, sweeteners, or gums, and it rejuvenates the health of the intestinal mucosa, supports a healthy inflammatory response, and builds immune support, and doesn't contain shellfish or any common allergens. You know, Dr. L, I hope you guys don't mind, but I want to go off the reservation here for a second, because I always encourage clinicians to make a batch of GI Resolve and let all their patients taste it. And a couple things happen when you do that. First of all, everyone's surprised how good it tastes, and people will choose it over other powders on the market. Second, they might not have gut problems, but they know people who do, and they can talk about the product and then your services to them. And then third, when you demonstrate things like GI Resolve or Biomega 3 liquid or, you know, any other product that people can taste, it's with your existing patients, it lets them know the range of services that you offer. So taking a few minutes to let your existing patients know what services you offer is really the most inexpensive, purest form of marketing.
You know, Joe, just listening to you, I mean, it's very obvious your excitement and just hearing you talk about these two products, the glutamine ingredient and GI Resolve, certainly. And it definitely deserves those accolades that you're giving it. You know, one of the things that stands out to me about GI Resolve that I want to make sure individuals don't miss with what you're sharing is that it is beneficial for both the upper and lower GI. This is not just a product for healing what we've often generally talked about as leaky gut, but better known now as intestinal hyperpermeability. It can really be used outside of that context as well. And really the star of the show there being the L-glutamine. And I have to tell you, Joe, that L-glutamine, since my early career, has been my favorite all-around nutrient. You know, when we talk about individuals being in either an anabolic or catabolic state, the simple shift between those two states can be related to whether or not someone has enough glutamine circulating. And when you look at ideally 50 to 60% of the total amino acid pool is generally L-glutamine, it really speaks volumes to just how important that single amino acid is. And I just sort of share comically, I share this when I lecture at times, that if you stuck me on a deserted island, L-glutamine would be the single nutrient that I would take with me if you told me I could only have one thing. And the reason that is because I'm probably going to encounter something as I try to find food that's going to be toxic for me. I'm going to need to take that to heal my gut, to help alleviate and detoxify. Glutamine can serve that purpose. It's probably going to end up being a challenge to my immune system. Glutamine can help there as well. I'm going to have trouble finding food if I'm on a deserted island, and I need to be able to preserve my muscle tissue, and L-glutamine certainly will help keep me in an anti-catabolic state. And let's be honest, if I'm on a deserted island, I'm probably going to start freaking out and developing some anxiety pretty soon. And I'm going to need something to help me with that. And lo and behold, L-glutamine ultimately converts over to GABA. So it's going to help me out there as well. So, you know, a lot of benefits to L-glutamine. We could probably spend easily an entire podcast just talking about that one single nutrient, but we've got other ones to cover here. So appreciate all the content there, Joe. Jillian, I want to segue over to you and talk about another gut healing formulation that we have, but that is slightly different than GI Resolve, which is IPS. Share some information with us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So IPS stands for intestinal permeability support, if that helps some remember it. But another powerful option for GI repair. In most categories, as we've seen, and especially in the GI section, the biotics line provides a variation in formulas and delivery systems to allow the practitioner to choose what works best for them and ultimately for the patient. And many of the practitioners that I work with will use either GI Resolve or IPS if they do want that combination formula to improve the integrity of the intestinal lining and the intestinal mucosa. So still staying in that ballpark as far as the approach of the product. But IPS was designed by Dr. Gary Lesneski to stimulate the growth and repair of the intestinal lining and heal the mucosa, as well as aiding in some gut detoxification as well. And Dr. Lesneski has formulated several of the GI products that we've covered in other sections and that are important here as well, but some of those being FC-cytolin dysbiocide, BioHPF, HCLEs, all very, very effective, proven products. And this one is very much the same. But IPS is going to be considered a vital part. I've seen it used in GI inflammation, dysbiosis, leaky gut protocols, with patients that prefer a capsule option. So that is a significant difference between both the L-glutamine powder and the GI Resolve powder. This is in a capsule form, and we do have patients, obviously, that do prefer that delivery. The formula is also very different than GI Resolve. Each capsule contains a proprietary blend of L-glutamine, although a much lower dose in this product compared to GI Resolve, which, as I've worked with some practitioners and patients, they prefer that. And so you have that variation. Glucosamine sulfate, this version is actually a shellfish derivative. So again, being mindful of that for certain patients, compared to GI Resolve, which is shellfish free. And then it also offers a blend of tillandsia root, gamma arosanol, and glutathione to help reduce inflammation and, again, assist some of that detoxification. It's got a nice blend of Jerusalem artichoke, which helps support some short-chain fatty acid production, such as butyrate. And lastly, and uniquely, the lamb intestinal concentrate, which will help to repair the intestinal lining. So as you can see, very, very different nutrient profile, very different delivery compared to GI Resolve, but it allows for bioindividuality and practitioner preference, patient preference, without losing the effectiveness of the product, of the purpose, and the clinical indication of healing, healing the intestinal lining. The typical dose for IPS is between 2 to 3 capsules twice a day, ideally 1 hour away from food, again, give or take. Certainly, some may take it right before meals if that improves compliance. We know that compliance is everything. So however you can get that patient to take it, those are just some general guidelines for that.
Great overview, Jillian, and I'm glad you made sure to mention the lamb intestine concentrate in there. I know for those practitioners that that appreciate the use of glandulars in their line and their recommendations to patients, this is certainly going to be able to provide a unique option for them when it comes to gastrointestinal health. So I want to take us now over to butyric CalMag, and this is going to be our butyrate product. Let me give a little bit of context here on butyrate as a whole, and then talk about what's unique in regards to butyric CalMag. So this is going to be a source of butyrate as a triglyceride. And when I say butyrate, or when we hear butyric acid, we want to acknowledge that that's the same compound. It's just different versions of the same molecule. And what is unique about butyrate is we've seemingly always had a general appreciation in the era of functional medicine where butyrate is one of the primary fuel sources, along with L-glutamine, for the enterocytes. But what we're beginning to see and what we've seen evolving over the last couple of years is that the research is showing us that butyrate, as well as other short-chain fatty acids, are doing so much more in addition to that. And they're doing it through their postbiotic and prebiotic effects. And if the term postbiotic is not one that you're familiar with, that's going to be a molecule that is produced by probiotics, and it's ultimately going to support the human host. These are byproducts of fiber fermentation in the colon. And so that's the postbiotic mentality, if you will, for the application of butyrate. But again, it also serves a prebiotic role as well, in that it's stimulating the growth of other commensal strains. And so this is one of the things that we more recently learned about butyrate, is it's not solely affecting the enterocytes, the structural integrity of the gastrointestinal tract, but it's also supporting the microbiome as a whole as well. Now, butyrate, again, it's considered the primary fuel of the colonic cells. But in addition to that, it has equally important roles throughout the entire body. So we don't want to have a narrow focus with this only towards the gastrointestinal tract. Other tissues related to metabolic function, immune health, are also going to be targets. For example, you talk about skeletal muscle, adipose tissue, the hepatocytes or liver cells, those are all going to be areas where butyrate is consistently and efficiently utilized. Now, when you talk about butyrate, there's different versions in the marketplace. And so a lot of times what you'll see are what are known as butyrate salts. And so, for example, these will go by names such as magnesium butyrate, calcium butyrate, sodium butyrate. So the idea is that you have a mineral that is bound to butyric acid. And these aren't bad forms, but they're not what we would consider to be the most efficacious, effective forms out there. They require higher dosages, and they're going to have an overall limited range of effectiveness. And what I mean by that is that they're going to be more limited in regards to where they're working in the gastrointestinal tract. You contrast that against tributyrin, and tributyrin is a butyrate source, but it's also known as a butyrate generator. So what that means is that it has a compounding effect. And so you are directly giving butyrate when you give this tributyrin form, but in addition, it also stimulates further butyrate production. And this is considered to be a trademark product, and we chose to use this and move away from the salts because it's a more bioavailable form, it's better tolerated, and it's going to have significantly higher plasma levels because of a longer half-life. So I mentioned how butyrate affects tissues outside of the gastrointestinal tract. That ties into these plasma levels. And when you look at what benefits this translates to, so what's our conversation today is gut, so let's stay focused there. It's going to ultimately be a downregulation in inflammation. It's going to prevent and repair intestinal damage. So a lot of times what we're thinking about as we're interacting with patients and helping them resolve whatever degree of dysbiosis or overall dysfunction that we find with them, it's going to help modulate the various gut axes throughout the body. And I'll have more to say about that. So just understand that those are numerous. And it's also going to additionally enhance other probiotic activity. Now, when it comes to dosing, and this may be in terms of clinical utilization and clinical compliance, this might be the most important reason right here for using the butyric CalMag with the tributyrin form, and that is that the dosing is significantly lower. So an efficacious dose to start patients with butyric CalMag is going to be one capsule twice a day. Now, that is almost a third of the dose of what we see as compared to the butyrate salts. And so always when a patient has to take fewer items, they're generally going to be more compliant. So if you're looking to really try to get in there, stimulate microbial activity, and enhance the integrity of the enterocytes. And just real quickly on this, if you think about the different cell types that are there, you have the general enterocytes, those colonic cells, but you also have the goblet cells, which are going to be the mucus secreting cells. You have immune cells in that area. You have hormonally related cells in that area. So it is a very diverse compound that can support all of these different cell types in the gastrointestinal tract. So, okay. So with that in mind,
Dr. Hill, before you leave this subject, I want to just jump in and just share something really quick. And I know we're really limiting this just to the GI function, but I was floored when I was sitting in a lecture with Dr. Wolfson, and he was talking about how butyrate, he showed a study where butyrate reduces plaque, which I thought was, holy cow, I always think about it being contained in the GI tract. And the other thing, which was really a real clinical testimony for me, is a friend of mine was bleeding from rectal bleeding, and I was like, oh, that's not a good sign. You know, we really need to do something. And he says, well, I'm going to change my diet. Well, a week later, still had the rectal bleeding. I said, you know, if it was me, I would take this, you know, Butera CalMag, and I know it's usually the dose is one twice a day, but I said, I would take two twice a day, you know, just to see what happens. Comes back the next week, he goes, man, that product is, I have no bleeding. I can't believe it. He goes, I think I changed my diet, and it's my diet because I've cleaned up my diet. So he goes off the product later and says, you know, I started bleeding again, went back on the product, and the bleeding stopped. So it takes time to heal, you know, gastrointestinal tissue, and people shouldn't be so leery to just jump off products, on and off products. But, you know, of course, this was just a conversation with a friend. We weren't going into deep, you know, esoteric, you know, healing modes. So he experimented with it, but it's clinically very valuable. And I just wanted to kind of jump in and share that clinical story. So
I think that to me, butyrate is one of those products that it is appreciated. Practitioners know about it. They understand it. They see the value in it. But when it translates to usage compared to other possible options or modalities, I feel like it's probably not reached for as often as it should be, given how powerful it can be. So hopefully with what we've shared with you here, that'll give you some perspective and maybe encourage you to start utilizing it more with your patients and yield some of these positive outcomes that we were sharing with you here. So, Julian, I want you to take us over to ImmunoGG-SBI, which is certainly a novel product in its own right. And again, another product here that we could have a full podcast on simply by itself. But share with us what you've got on it.
Absolutely. So ImmunoGG-SBI is one of my all-time favorite products, especially for gut and immune. But I would say really as an overall product, like your love for L-glutamine, SBI stands for serum-derived bovine immunoglobulins. So that's serum-derived bovine immunoglobulins. Very different than what most know as colostrum, and the fact that it is serum-derived and not lactose-derived. But more importantly, it has the highest concentration and purity of immunoglobulins. And the biotics literature sheet for this product, it lays it out very nicely, the difference. So I'd encourage anyone listening to get a hold of that. But it shows the difference that the SBI version has approximately 20% more protein and 20% more immunoglobulins per gram or milligram that you're using. So very, very strong formula, and it has a proven and unique binding mechanism that in research shows its ability to bind, neutralize, and remove a significant number of microbial components from the intestinal tract before they get through the intestinal lining to cause immune activation and inflammation. So by binding, neutralizing, and removing these toxic antigens and microbes, the SBI is going to have a dramatic effect in the GI tract, but also really systemically to support the immune system. So SBI helps to reduce that immune activation and inflammation, helps to maintain GI immune balance. It improves gut barrier function and improves nutrient utilization. As I mentioned, SBI has some really significant research, over 40 clinical human clinical trials, probably more at this point, for both pediatric and adults. And since most of the practitioners listening to this are working with patients that have a number of microbial imbalances, whether or not they're doing stool tests or not, I always find it helpful to share and highlight some of these major microbes that it has been studied against, really just to emphasize how powerful this product is. And some of those most prevalent, most significant that are well known, starting with LPS, C. diff, Candida, H. pylori, E. coli, Staph, Klebsiella, Salmonella, several bacterial and fungal components, so very significant infections, even gluten, the gliadin protein. So it is a major game changer for the intestinal microbial balance and healing within the gut. It's a powerful way to support a positive shift in the microbiome while not adversely affecting the good commensal bacteria. And also it can be used in really all phases of GI healing. And so sometimes that trips people up of, you know, do I start with this? Do I bring it alongside the SBO kit? Do I, you know, use it as a maintenance product? And that's really an amazing thing about this product is that you could use it in all phases. And some might even use it as a maintenance product. But it can be used, I would say, most effectively, and I see most commonly, alongside or even prior to the SBO kit, which is the SIBO protocol, or any dysbiosis protocols. It really helps to somewhat act as a binder, again, bringing down inflammation, supporting that healing process throughout. So a lot of patients have an easier transition, easier time through those protocols, more successful, success with those. So you could use this during those protocols. Also, game changer for most patients, I would say, that probably walk through the door in a functional medicine practice. But I've seen it used for autoimmune patients, leaky gut, dysbiosis, GI inflammation. It's heavily studied for IBS. I know they have some recent work on other conditions as well. Food sensitivities, malabsorption, allergies, histamine issues. You could use it for, again, overall immune support, and some even use it during some mycotoxin mold type protocols. So very versatile, extremely powerful product. And it is also available in a capsule and a powder form. So I would say that's another big use for this product is that you could use it for children, infants, all the way through adults. It doesn't really have much of a flavor, so easy to implement with all patients. And then the dosing can vary depending on the sensitivity, depending on the severity of the case. But starting at 2 capsules twice a day or 1 scoop. So 1 scoop equals 4 capsules. But it can vary. And so I'd encourage anyone listening, any practitioner, to reach out to their local representative, Biotics, and get some of that additional dosing information or research if you'd like to look a little bit further into that.
That's a great overview, Jillian. And certainly you mentioned the broad applications associated with this product. And I don't think that that can be understated. Any phase of the gut healing process, this can certainly be an option. The thing that's always stood out to me with those serum-derived bovine immunoglobulins is just how robust the research is around those. You definitely made mention of that. You know, even to some of these tough conditions in that practitioners run into in clinical practice, like ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease, these more advanced autoimmune GI dysfunction, it's certainly beneficial in those scenarios as well. And you mentioned dysbiosis, and this is one of those things that's a completely, most time practitioners think with dysbiosis, target that with antimicrobials, and that is definitely a valid strategy. But this is an equally valid strategy with a completely different mechanism of action that can be employed as well. And even when practitioners are dealing with conditions such as SIBO, and they're often looking for a binder to integrate in with their protocols, this product qualifies as that binder. You mentioned that term specifically, and I want to make sure practitioners connect that with the SIBO dysfunction since they're often looking for that with SIBO. So yeah, excellent overview on that product. Definitely a favorite of many individuals. Joe, I want to go now. ImmunoGG-SBI is a more recent addition over the last couple of years to the line, but I want you to go back with us now and take us back to a product that has a track record in the biotics line, which is Gastrozyme. It's a different formulation, really, than anything that we've talked about up to this point, and has a different application use. So share with us what you've got on that.
Thanks, Dr. Hill. So Gastrozyme is really biotics' first stomach healing formula, and it goes back, like, I don't know, at least 30 years. And here's how I remember it. When people think stomach pain, they often refer to it as fire in their belly. And so think of Gastrozyme as a product that puts out the fire. And the burning, it can come from oxidation, from chemicals, from dehydration, from pH imbalance, from food sensitivities like gluten or dairy, or a stubborn bacterial infection like H. pylori. And Julian, you mentioned BioHPF and Dr. Lesneski and how he developed that particular product. So I think of BioHPF, which stands for H. pylori factor, and how it's been shown to be effective with its antimicrobial botanicals and pro-mucus supporting properties for any kind of upper digestive infection, not just H. pylori. And he even recommends it for people to travel out of the country preventatively. But Gastrozyme, I kind of like Gastrozyme and BioHPF, and I know this is a corny example, but kind of like a double barrel shotgun for stomach issues. The BioHPF works for infection. Gastrozyme is great for putting out oxidative fires and healing cellular and tissue damage that's caused by processed food, medication, stress, etc. And again, as it was Biotic's first stomach formula that was based on earlier research showing that raw cabbage juice had tremendous healing qualities for stomach pain, especially for ulcers. And they knew that it was impossible to bottle raw cabbage juice, so Biotic set out to find the active ingredient. Earlier researchers had called that active ingredient in cabbage juice vitamin U, but to be accurate, it doesn't officially meet the classifications of a vitamin. So it's referred to as a vitamin U complex. And the vitamin U complex contains kind of a long term called methionine S-methylsulfonium, MMS, and it's in the chlorinated form. And MMS occurs in a variety of fruits and vegetables, but especially cabbage. And we know that NSAIDs cause stomach bleeding. And interestingly, MMS supports the healing process and of NSAID-induced injury. And one doctor that I know of used to use 2 tablets of Gastrozyme whenever he would recommend NSAIDs to prevent stomach bleeding, because as we know, that's a big issue for NSAIDs. Gastrozyme also contains concentrated chlorophyllins from the mulberry leaf. Chlorophyllin, which is a derivative of chlorophyll, also has the ability to bind heavy metals like lead or mercury, which may be a factor further down the gut. We all know chlorophyll is a tremendous gut healer. And whenever I think about stomach or stomach issues, I always think about that cell membrane that might be compromised by oxidation or infection that needs to be repaired. So chlorophyll is just a great gut healer for the GI tract. For severe cases, in fact, severe cases, doctors have taken enough tablets until the stool turns green, which is a sign that the bowel has as much chlorophyll as it can absorb. Other antioxidants that are used to put out the oxidative fires in an inflamed gut are vitamin A as mixed carotenoids, superoxide dismutase catalyse, and gamma-rizinol. And most people aren't aware that gamma-rizinol, first of all, it is an antioxidant in and of itself. It's got one part of it's a fat-soluble antioxidant, the gamma-rizinol, but there's a ferulic acid component inside that that's water-soluble. So most people aren't aware that it is an antioxidant, but it also has an adaptogenic effect in increasing the growth hormone in some patients. But here's the big key for stomach issues. You know, some patients have too much hydrochloric acid, usually not many when you really look at, you know, a lot of the gastric tests, but it has a calming, gamma-rizinol has a calming effect on the vagus nerve, and that's the nerve that facilitates hydrochloric acid secretion. So if you did have that rare patient that was over-secreting hydrochloric acid, Gastrozyme would have a normalizing effect on the body. So here's how I use it. I generally will start with a bottle of Gastrozyme. obviously cut out gluten and dairy, have patients drink more water. I have patients intentionally chew their food sitting down in a quiet area, because that's, people not chewing their food can cause undigested material and can cause problems. And then have them take 3 to 6 tablets of Gastrozyme, depending upon the size of the patients. Three tablets if it's a smaller patient, 6 patients if it's a larger. Take it before the meal. And if that doesn't reduce the fire, then I'll add bio-HPF after the first bottle of 2-TID. And then after 30 days of being pain-free, I have them take a hydrochloric acid called HCl+. It's a low-dose hydrochloric acid tablet in the middle of the meal. Now, the reason I like to do that is because if it still causes a warmth or a burning, then even though some of the subjective indicators might be gone, they still have a problem. And so we back off, obviously, with the hydrochloric acid tablet and continue with whatever protocol that was working. So sometimes it's important to know when to stop. And so that's kind of my way of knowing when to stop.
Great, Joe. Thank you for sharing Gastrozyme with us there. Definitely a product that is unique in many of its own rights and certainly has a history to validate its application. I want to close this out today with Metabolic Biome Fuel as our final product to talk about here. And this is, as far as products go on our list, this is going to be the more recent recent introduction, if you will. But this is a product whose history is far longer than its availability. This is really the offspring of asking the question, how can we deliver a large payload of ingredients that can support the gastrointestinal function and do it in a manner in which patients will utilize and consistently utilize and support their gut health on a daily basis? The name says a lot with this particular product, and ultimately what we're trying to approach here is the ability to support metabolic function directly through the microbiome. I noted earlier about the different gut axes when we were talking about butyric CalMag, and I just want to give some additional appreciation now to how many of these different axes there actually are. The one that nearly everyone is familiar with now, even the lay public, is the gut-brain axis. But these axes also are existent with the liver, the lung, the thyroid, the heart, the joint, the testes, the kidney, and so on. The list certainly doesn't end there. And the point to this is that when you look at all these various tissues in which the gastrointestinal tract has been directly linked to, what this illustrates is that if we don't have optimal health in the gastrointestinal tract, then we're directly inhibiting the normal metabolic function of all these different systems throughout the body. So think about this as the intestinal microbiota is, we know, contributing ultimately to the health of the human host. And this is the way in part that it's doing that. But the opposite is also true. When the intestinal health is aberrant, when we have dysfunction and dysbiosis present, the pathogenesis of various common metabolic diseases is far greater. And so when you talk about things like cardiovascular disease and diabetes and all these other chronic diseases that we so frequently talk about now, the likelihood of moving in the direction towards those is far greater when we don't have stability and homeostasis in the gut. And so really the summary on this is that the microbiota is the modulator of metabolism universally. And we know that we can have impact here if we can introduce certain dietary patterns. And so that is one of the core efforts with the delivery of Metabolic Biome Fuel, is that we want to help guide and direct that dietary pattern to make sure that there's adequate delivery of various constituents that are ultimately going to create specific outcomes for that patient. And so let me share a few of these with you that are included in this product. So there's going to be various oligosaccharides in here, these longer chain, not extremely long, but these longer chain carbohydrates. They're going to be delivered through fiber, and they're going to help with the production of short chain fatty acids. You ultimately see as a byproduct of these as well that you get production of antimicrobial peptides. This is going to be the molecules that are inhibiting these dysbiotic organisms that are produced endogenously within the body and that are often produced from commensal organisms. These oligosaccharides are also going to enhance overall barrier function. Just this week, in looking at some of the literature on oligosaccharides from different food sources, I was really just blown away at how many different mechanisms there are for this carbohydrate category that we so infrequently talk about, but yet the impact is so vast with this particular food component category. So I want to make sure we certainly don't overlook that as well. From there, we also see that there's polyphenols in this formulation. The polyphenols are known to enhance various species throughout the GI tract. A lot of the various commensal species, one that probably has gotten more attention of recent is Akkermansia, simply because Akkermansia is going to have a direct role in maintaining the mucus layer health. We also see Bifidobacterium species. And even polyphenol's impact on glucagon-like peptide, the GLPs, the 1 and the 2, that impact on those molecules, on the production of those, is direct. And so polyphenols have that application as well. So we've got fiber as these oligosaccharides, we've got polyphenols, but we also have the inclusion of proteins in here as well. And when we have an adequate consumption of protein, that's going to serve us in a couple of different ways. One is that it's going to increase what are known as branch chain fatty acids. And if that sounds very similar to short chain fatty acids, well, indeed it should. They do have very similar applications, very similar outcomes. The proteins are going to support that. It's going to be an overall metabolically stabilizing macronutrient, especially when it's consumed earlier in the day. We know that having adequate amounts of protein earlier in the day contributes to more metabolic stability throughout the entirety of the day. We see that it's going to enhance gut repair. And for those looking for different options here, this is delivered in either a hydrolyzed collagen protein, which is a complete protein source that does contain some collagen precursors in there as well, or it can be delivered as a pea protein. So depending on whatever your protein preference is there, we have options for you on that. And not to be left out of the conversation, since we have talked about proteins and carbohydrates, there are fats in this product that are of high quality nature as well. Avocado, coconut are the ones that you'll see here. But the point is that these are all directly metabolically stabilizing, but they also translate to direct impacts on the microbiome that has a bigger impact on how metabolic function is being managed. And all of us that have spent 2 minutes in clinical practice understand the problem that we're up against here, which is that patients have poor food choices. Their ability to commit to better food choices is often difficult. They generally don't have the commitment that maybe we do. And that ultimately translates into recurrent dysbiosis. And what we're looking at here is metabolic biome fuel as a product that can create a solution for these patients. And what you as the practitioner are able to do here is bring focus to a completely different metabolic paradigm for your patients, and not just have a shift in their metabolic function and physiology, but also have a shift in their mental function and how they mentally view their overall health. So metabolic biome fuel can be one of those daily products that can be introduced routinely. It can be just part of their daily routine, and they can build a foundation with it that can continue to support them over time. So in today's podcast, we've taken a look at a comprehensive list of options to aid in recovery and stabilization of the gut lining. From straightforward to complex, from acute to chronic, the list of options shared with you today can help you meet your patient's needs. Backed by years of research and clinical application, the options shared with you today will keep you poised for success with your patients for years to come. If you're looking for additional information or any of the resources mentioned in today's show, please reach out to your local representative or the home office. In closing, I want to thank Joe and Jillian for their willingness to share their time and experience to help us all become more versed in the appropriate application of Biotix Research products.